Amen. Welcome to Only Believe at Kenton. It's good to have you guys in the house this morning. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're ready today, expecting God to move. Amen. All right, so I just want to welcome you guys in, and we're just getting prepared to experience God and to be fellowshipping with Him. And so pastors are not with us today. They are down south. Pastor is preaching, and they were there for a wedding yesterday, so keep them in your prayers as they journey back today. But God's still in the house, right? Holy Spirit is still here to move. So let's be expecting and let's have a great day today. Amen.
Amen. Stand up. We're having a technical difficulties here. All right, Caleb, are you ready?
Holy Spirit, take my hand now, lead me out in the living water. You're the wellspring, you're a stirring for your life, for your sons and daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is rising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud, come and give the Lord His glory. You're calling me deeper, deeper still.
You're calling me deep.
weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Sing my God.
Understand. He said, Stacy, I cannot be moved by your pity. I can only be moved by your faith. And Nate is in this church today.
I did the same as Stacy. You know, I've been holding back. A couple weeks ago, and I shared this with someone, I had gone upstairs to go to bed for the night, and that song, Even Though I'm Surrounded, I'm surrounded by you. And I just kept singing that. And I had this real, real short vision of three guys dressed in black. And they seemingly wanted to surround me. But I kept singing that song. Even though I feel surrounded, I'm surrounded by you. And just as fast as they appeared, they disappeared. Because it's at the name of Jesus. We have that authority in us because we are our Father's children. And he was just showing me that there's no way, even in those words, it's coming out and telling you, your enemy can't surround you because I'm surrounding you. So they can't touch you. They cannot even surround you. You have that power within you to allow it or not to allow it. And so he's saying, just put your trust in me, believe in me, and it'll be okay.
Sing to God. Sing praises to his name.
Lift up a song to him who rides through the desert. His name is the Lord. Exalt before him. So this morning, let's exalt his name. Lord, we long for you, revival, to be in our hearts so we can take it to the world this morning. Let's sing that. It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So
I'm just going to go right into announcements. We have our Easter sunrise service at 7 a.m. They are going to be providing Panera in between the 10 o'clock regular service. If you guys have any friends, any family, please invite them out. It's going to be a great time in the Lord. Obviously, you know, we're celebrating the Lord's resurrection, you know, from the grave. And so that's going to be a great time in the Lord. And then we have evangelist Mark Dunphy coming Thursday, May 27th. Mark comes every year to our church. He always brings an on-time, in-season word. And so be expecting great things for that. And then we have our new members class. So if you want to become a member of the church, that'll be April 17th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. So if you're looking to become a member, come on out to that. And the last thing is for our Easter Sunday service, remember to bring in, if you have any needs or anything that you're really praying and believing God for, set an expectation. What's up? I'm going to go into when I do the offering. But set an expectation for what you're really praying and believing God for. And write that down. Because pastor's going to have a cross up here. And we're going to be putting all those stickies and all those notes and all those things that you guys are praying and believing for on that. And we're just going to believe that all those things are going to come to pass. Okay? And I think that's it for announcements. All right? So I got to... Sorry, I didn't grab my stuff. Sorry about that. All right, so pastor talked to me on Thursday, and he wanted to, he asked me if I would do the offering message, and the Lord had kind of put something on my heart that I had written down a few months ago, but he had kind of been stirring something in me, and it's about our expectation. So I'm going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Many of you may know this story. It's about the Shunammite woman and her jar of oil. And so I'm just going to go right into it here. A certain woman, chapter 4, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant fears the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it out into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her sons, right here, guys. You can line them up right here. Thank you. I had to have some helpers today. These are a representation of the jars, so I'm just using some 5-gallon buckets. So back to verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her sons, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live off the rest. So what I have over here is a representation of what my expectations used to be when I would come to church. And so I used to come to church, and I'd go through the motions. You know, I'd come, and, you know, I wasn't really into the worship. I wasn't really paying attention to the pastor. You know, I wasn't really getting anything out of my, you know, out of service. You know, I wasn't getting anything for myself. I wasn't really praying and believing anything for anybody else. And the Lord really started working on my heart, and I started, you know, asking the Lord. I'm like, Lord, when I come to church, I want to start having an expectation of what I believe you're going to do, not just in my life, because a lot of times my prayers were me prayers. So I started changing my me prayers to we prayers. So I started going to church, and I would go over to Bakken's on Wednesday nights and our Thursday services, Sunday services. And my drives to there is when I would really kind of set myself, and I'd be praying, and I would just ask the Lord. I'd say, Lord, I'm just praying and believing for an expectation that you're going to move in people's hearts today. Lord, I pray people that, you know, have unforgiveness in their heart, they forgive. You know, I pray that people that have chains, you know, chains are broken, and that lives and hearts are changed. And so one Wednesday service, I was heading over to Bakken's, and I was doing as was my custom, and I was praying and believing and, you know, kind of setting an expectation for what, you know, I was believing for in the service. And God really moved on my heart, and he brought someone, he brought this man to my heart, someone that I knew, that I didn't realize it, but I had some unforgiveness towards, and that I really hated this guy, and I didn't realize it, but just in my prayer time, the Lord really brought this man to my heart, and I'm like, Lord, it just hurt me that, you know, I felt this way about this man. And, you know, I was like, you know what, Lord, just in the car, you know, driving to church, I was like, Lord, you know, I asked the Lord to forgive me, you know, and I've had an opportunity to speak to that man and tell him, hey, you know, I'm sorry for the way that, you know, I want you to know this is how I felt about you, and I'm sorry, and I apologize. And so God really moved on my heart to forgive that man. So I get to the service on Wednesday night, and Pastor Tim LeMaster is preaching, and it was a powerful service, and it just so happened to be on forgiveness. Well, by the end of the service, God had completely moved in his heart, and people were coming up, and people were getting delivered and set free, and forgiveness was just starting to take place all over the altar. And I was just sitting back in my chair, and I was just blown away. I'm like, God, this is so amazing. I was like, what he's doing right now in the service is what happened to me in the car on the way over. And the Lord spoke to me and said, it's because of your expectation. Because I had set an expectation for what I was really praying. What I was really praying and believing for. And this expectation right here is the expectation of the Shunammite woman. Because remember, the man of God said, go, don't just gather just a few. So they went, her and her two sons, and they gathered, you know, all that they could. And, you know, a lot of times when we pray, when we're at, a lot of times, you know, we have an expectation that's set over here. Lord, if I can just give you this one little piece of my heart, you know, that would be okay. No, the Lord wants all your heart. Our expectation should be that we're going to give you all of our heart. Lord, if you can just cancel this one piece of debt, you know, that would be okay. No, our expectation should be that, Lord, you're going to cancel all of our debt. Lord, if you can just touch this one part of my body, I would be okay with that. No, Lord, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to believe that you're going to touch me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Yeah. Amen. So, and this was the really interesting thing when I read this, and I brought my little jar. I took this from my grandma, so my family, don't tell her that I did it. This is from her kitchen. She's a knick-knack woman, so. But this is, I just wanted to lay this out as a representation because this is what the Lord had kind of really showed me in this. And so, here's the woman of God, and she's pouring out the oil into the vessels. And she's pouring out, and she's pouring out, and filling each and every one of them. So then she gets to the end, and she tells her son, son, hand me another vessel. And the son says, there are no more. Well, the word of God says, then the oil ceased. There's another translation that says, then the oil stopped flowing. So the Lord was speaking to me when I was reading this, and he was saying, Shane, the oil only stopped because the expectation stopped. See, we start setting an expectation for what we're praying and believing for, whether that's spiritually, whether that's physically, whether that's financially. God will meet us right where we're at. And not just that, we know the Word of God says that God will always do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can think or ask. So, and not to downplay that God didn't do what he needed to do for that woman, because not only did he meet her expectation, he met the expectations of the kids. Because the Bible says that they got to live off that, you know, the rest of their days. And so they could have brought, we could have had 80 more buckets or jars of oil, per se, up here. And guess what? God would have filled every single one of them, because that was the expectation of the woman. So let's have an expectation when we're given, or, you know, when we're coming to church, let's have an expectation that we're going to see God move, you know, not just in our hearts, but in the hearts of other people. And let's just pray and believe and ask God that, you know, if there's a financial need that we want, or there's something we're really praying and believing for, you know, let's just have an expectation for it. And let's believe and trust God by faith. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6, that says, it's impossible to please God without faith. So let's have a faith. Let's have an expectation that, listen, God, you're going to meet my needs, and you're not just going to meet my needs, but you're going to meet my family's needs. You're going to meet my friends' needs. You're going to meet the needs of those, you know, around us in our church family. So that's just what the Lord kind of put on my heart. And so I'm just going to pray over it, and then we can bring our offering up. All right. Father God, I just pray over this offering, the tithes and offering today, Lord Jesus, and I just ask, God, that you're just working in our hearts, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we just begin to have an expectation for what we're really praying and believing for, Lord, whether that's spiritually, physically, or financially, Lord. And I just ask, God, that you're meeting the needs of the people, Lord. And we always know that you do exceedingly and abundantly above, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we're really setting our hearts, Lord, and we're not just giving grudgingly or, you know, out of some ritualistic giving, Lord. We're giving because we trust you and because we love you and because we know, Lord, you're working on our behalf. And we just thank you for that, and we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Am I on? Can you hear me now? I have no idea how that thing got turned off. I was standing up the whole time except for like just there for a few minutes. We gotta love technology. Good morning. Welcome, everybody. Amen. I was going to say that we're going to continue on with the young guys, you know, sharing the word today. But I think by look of the gray and the beard this morning, I don't think I'm quite as young as Shane. But but I'm here with you guys today, and I just want to thank you guys for being here. It's an honor. It's always a privilege to stand in this pulpit. Pastors are amazing pastors, and we're thankful for them. And so make sure you guys are keeping them up in prayer, okay? I know that seasons can be challenging, and our pastors can always use prayer, always use the word of encouragement, okay? So if you have something in your heart to say to them that might be a kind thing, an encouraging thing, don't hold it back. Give it, okay? Because you might be surprised at how much God will use that.
I'm getting blessed with new batteries here in just one moment, okay? So thank you guys for bearing with me for just a moment. Man, God has been good today. We're thankful for that. But anyway, just thankful for all the children's church staff and volunteers and all the people who love on the kids and take time to minister to them. So pray for them too, okay? Because they need blessed with extra doses of patience and love and kindness and all that good stuff. So, all right.
I think we're back in business. Are we back in business? All right. All right, let's get started today. It's amazing how God does stuff, even without communicating with on specifics with Shane or even my wife on worship, on song lists and everything. Because today, as pastor has been preaching some messages, some sermons leading up to Easter Sunday. We have Resurrection Sunday, one of the greatest days of our faith. We start with Christmas, right? The birth of Jesus, of our Savior. And that is great. We celebrate it. I love that season. I know we have some avid Christmas fans in the house. They have countdowns already going on for December of this year. But Christmas is amazing. I love the season. It's always a great time with family and just all the childhood experiences and all that good stuff, and now watching my own kids. But that was just the start, okay? That was just when God set the rescue plan in motion. The greatest love story ever told began, okay, was set into motion to come into accomplishment and to fulfillment on Christmas. But we're coming up to Easter, to Resurrection Sunday, when the plan was fulfilled, when the final act, the greatest act of love, and the final sacrifice for our sins was made. Okay, so it is an amazing time of celebration for us, for our faith. Because without that, everything would be completely different, right? Okay, so today, in continuation with Pastor talking on different types of things leading up to Easter, I want to share with you guys a word God has given me on the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. So, what's in a name? The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver or gold. One of the first things God did after creating the heavens, the earth, the entire universe, setting that into motion and then making man, was he named him. First man, okay, this is where I'd be like, you know, if you raise your hand, I'll give you a piece of candy if you can get this answer right. No. The first man was named Adam, okay? And Adam simply means man. So it's kind of appropriate that that would be his name. And so one of God's first assignments to man, his brand new prized creation that he was having fellowship with, was to name all of the living creatures, right? All the animals. I mean, that would be an exhausting day. That would be a hard day's work, right? You got all the creation, Garden of Eden, lining up, Just Naaman. I mean, God had to be flowing through that man to give him divine inspiration and continually name every living creature that walked by him, from the tiniest ant to the biggest giraffe or elephant. Okay, but so it's important that God named Adam right after he created him and then gave Adam the job of naming all of creation. But then Adam was not complete. He was alone, right? He needed a helpmate. So then come the last thing, which God always saves the best for last, right, ladies? It was woman. Come on, I figure I hear some thunderous applause. I'd get some amens on that. And all the guys are like, oh, dear Lord, what are you doing to me, man? I understand, fellas. But, and he made Eve, right? That's what Adam got for a rib. That was the deal. I'll give you a rib, you give me Eve. And it turned out to be a pretty good deal. Now, Eve means living, okay? And so the names, when they were given in the Bible times, they had very significant meaning to them. There was a lot wrapped up into a name. Okay, it wasn't just given flippantly or just, you know, nonchalantly. It was given with great importance. Okay, it bared much weight. So, you know, your identity, your character were referenced in your name in the Bible times, like Moses. You know, it said it was named Moses because he drew him up out of the water, right? You know, and Jacob was a supplanter because he had a hold of Esau's foot. Okay, these names were given kind of in concordance with, you know, who you were and kind of what you were doing on the earth. So your house and your lineage were wrapped up in it. So we have like Joseph, who's from the house and the lineage of David. Okay, and that was a big deal, right? Especially if you were, you know, your bloodline was for the Son of God. Okay, so all those things carried weight. They all mattered. Okay, we've seen movies that were in medieval times, like I'm son of so-and-so from the house of the, you know, at that time it was like a big deal. Now, so we, you know, even God himself associates, you know, with names of his people, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That is told to us many times in the Old Testament, right? Okay, those are his servants. Those were people that were found faithful to him. Those were people who he was working through to accomplish great things. Now we fast forward to modern day times, okay, because names have kind of taken on different meaning, and we've settled now on our culture. We typically have a first name and a middle name and a last name. Okay, I'm Jared Allen Kaiser, okay, and my middle name was my dad's middle name. And so we typically have like three names, but we have names in our culture that carry meaning or weight. If we have any sports fans here, we're in March Madness right now, so if we talk about basketball, you say the name LeBron James. Most people who know anything about basketball or just kind of lightly about sports in general know that name, right? You know, we can go back a few generations just to try to capture everybody in here. We can think of Michael Jordan, okay, Larry Bird, okay, Wilt Chamberlain. We can think of these names, and we just automatically know, hey, these were great basketball players. Now, some people might be like, I have no idea who you're talking about. But some people do. If I say the name when we talk about football, like Tom Brady, okay, we know that name is associated with 7 Super Bowl wins. We know Joe Montana, you know, mainly like quarterbacks or like maybe Jerry Rice as a wide receiver. So we hear names, and then they carry weight. Like, we can even think of, like, world leaders. Say the name Donald Trump. Most people around the entire world know that name. Or Joe Biden, or Barack Obama. Okay, they know the name, especially of the American president, right? You hear that name, now it might invoke different feelings, different emotions, different range of thoughts. That's okay. When you hear that name, though, it automatically means something. Oh, wow, that's the president of the United States. That carries a lot of influence, right? And even, like, movie stars will change their name to be more marketable, to have something that sounds cooler. Like, I remember years ago, have you ever seen the movie Men in Black? There was an actor on there, and his name was Rip Torn. I mean, that's the name he gave himself. Okay, I know I had a friend that I grew up with that was like, if I ever become a movie star, my name's going to be Tony Valentine. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? But, you know, but if you watch these movie stars and see what their names are actually like, you know, they do stuff like that. They might keep a first name or part of a name, but then they change it to be more marketable, so their name, when it's spoken, it carries more influence. And we could go with some more infamous names, some more negative-sounding names, like if I would say Hitler. almost everybody in here would be like, yeah, I've heard that name before. You know, it might get tossed around a lot nowadays, but it definitely carries some meaning and significance with it. So now, think about, especially if you're a parent, you're a grandparent, you've had a child, the naming process for your own kids. Now, me personally, I've been blessed with an unusual amount of opportunities to name kids. Okay, I don't know what happened there or how that happened, but, you know, I've had six go-arounds at this. Now, you know, and when you're going through names, you do like the name association thing. You know, you hear, if I would say the name like Michael to Amy, she might have a negative name association with it. Like, there ain't no way I'm naming my kid that because of this person or that person, because, you know, when we hear certain names in our own lived experiences, we have a name association. Like, there's no way I'm naming my kid that, you know, or even like sometimes people get protective over names, like, oh, you stole my name. You know, like, I don't think any of them is copyrighted or licensed to anybody specifically. But, okay, so for Linda, it was important for us to have Bible names. Okay, well, there's lots of names in the Bible, but not all of them are, you know, fluent in today's English language, you know. So, you know, we start out with Caleb and Isaiah as our first two choice. Well, we end up naming our oldest Caleb and then our second oldest Isaiah. And now it's kind of hard to imagine if those would have ever been flip-flopped. It seems like, you know, like they seem to really fit who they're named with. Okay, and so, well, we get down into Adam and down into Zeke. Zeke is where it really started. After the first three, I was like, okay, I mean, seriously. And she's like, well, so we at least went kind of maybe outside of that with the middle name. Okay, but unfortunately for our son Levi, we got to Levi and we were like stuck. Okay, the kids sat in the hospital for 2 days with no name. This is Kaiser boy number five right here. I mean, we almost went all Dr. Seuss, like thing five right here. Okay. So, but eventually we prayed about it a lot. We went through like every name book, every naming website, and we definitely look at meanings, okay? Because if they could carry a meaning that we don't want to call our son over and over and over again, we don't want that to, you know, be something that's spoken over him that's going to be detrimental or make something in life more challenging than what it should, because what we say, what we speak carries weight. Okay, so we did settle on Levi. I think that worked out all right, and then we had to do it again. But I'm gone. I'm tapped out. Okay, I mean, the name bank. I'm eventually, just to make light of it, sometimes I just start listing off every name. Like, let's go with Bartholomew. Let's go with Jebediah, Obadiah. You know, and then I get that death look. So I'm like, okay, let's move on. But so, let's talk about the greatest name of all time. Let's talk about the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ, okay? The name Jesus in and of itself means Yahweh saves. Seems pretty appropriate, right? And the name Christ means this. It's Greek for anointed and is equivalent to the Hebrew word Messiah. So this anointed Savior that we have, that God has given to us, was absolutely named appropriately. And it also means Emmanuel, God with us. And he's still with us, amen? So let's do this with me, church. Let's get a little audience participation. I want you to say Jesus. Jesus. Let's say it again like we really mean it. Jesus. Let's say it one more time like we want the devil to run away from us right now.
Jesus.
Amen. Now, I tell you what. Every time we said it, but especially that last time, I felt the power of God moving. And no joke, when we say the name Jesus, it does something inside of our hearts, inside of our spirits. We feel it in the atmosphere. We know that the name of Jesus has been spoken. There's been times, unfortunately, going through my high school years and even through my adult years, when I'm in a situation where I should speak the name of Jesus, but for some reason I get like uptight about saying it. Like, if I say the name of Jesus, somebody might be bothered or offended, or they might make fun of me or might think that I'm goofy or something. But, you know, Jesus is the name that unfortunately gets used as a derogatory word, as almost like a curse word at times. Why do you think that is? Well, because the devil wants to defile the name of Jesus. Okay, and we kind of let it slip into our culture, maybe in sometimes our own way of speaking, And we don't realize that, man, this is not honoring to the name of Jesus. We've been given the name of Jesus, okay, and it carries power, and it carries weight. And when we speak that name like we just did, we can feel that begin to move in the atmosphere. When we were singing our songs of worship today, and we're singing about the mightiness of the name of Jesus and the powerful name of Jesus and the wonderful name of Jesus, and we're singing those things, man, the presence of God is moving and it is flowing, okay? So let us not make light ever of the name of Jesus. Now, and leading up to this Easter season, we have to understand the fullness of our salvation, what Jesus truly did for us on the cross. When he went to the cross, when he shed his blood, when he died a horrible, torturous death, the death of a criminal, the death of a sinner, because he took that upon himself for us, our punishment. You know, I often equate it to whenever I'm talking to the kids, I'm like, just imagine if you had your brother. Okay, I'll just use Alicia sitting right there. How you doing? Alicia has two kids, Noah and Arabella. I happen to know them, okay, and I've had them in children's church for a while. But imagine if Arabella did something wrong. She sinned against mom and dad. She lied, okay, and she took some actions that were ungodly, and she was going to get in trouble. She was going to get a spanking, or she was going to get grounded for a month and have her favorite toys taken from her. And at the last minute, when that punishment was about to be dealt, Noah would jump and step in front of her and say, "No, don't give Arabella that punishment. Give it to me. I'll take it for her instead. I'll spare her so she doesn't have to take that." Now, if that would actually happen, I think Alicia would pass out. Okay, she's like, "What is going on here? Are you okay? Do I need to exorcise the demon out of you, my son? Because this is totally outside of your character, right?" No way. Kids are like, "I ain't taking no punishment from him." Usually when that happens, like, "He did it." You know, as soon as one of the boys do something, I mean, and they're all kind of in on it, but they're like, "He started it." You know, that's a natural human reaction, is just to throw somebody under the bus, just to point fingers like, "Nope." Okay, in a criminal case, what happens? The very first time somebody gets caught, everybody starts pointing fingers, everybody starts laying all the, you know, details out there, okay? So, but Jesus did that for us. And the worst way, and in the most beautiful way possible. Okay, so we have a fullness of salvation that God accomplished through his son Jesus dying on the cross and being raised to life again. Okay, it is for forgiveness of sins, yes. It is for our past to be gone from us, to be removed from us. It is for us to become a new creation. And it is for us to have eternal life. But it also, he's given us some things, you know, some power, some authority, and some responsibility to use as we live here on this earth. We are to be difference makers. We are to be world shakers. We are not supposed to leave things the same whenever we come into them. Okay, because we are Christians. We have a fullness of salvation that God has put on us, and he has given us the name of Jesus, which is the name above every name. Okay, and so I want us to open our Bibles, the book of Mark. We're going to go to a familiar passage of Scripture in the book of Mark, in chapter 16. And we're going to start in verse 15. So as you're turning there, know that we have the name of Jesus for victory over our enemy and to do great things in the name of our Lord. Okay, now in Mark 16, 15, we usually hear these first two verses the most. It says this, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" Now, I've been to many different types of churches and many different denominations, and they have those scriptures on pictures, on plaques, on the wall. But I don't know why they seem to omit these next two scriptures. But they're key because they define what should be happening when we are doing these things in the name of Jesus, when we're sharing the gospel. It says this in verse 17, "And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Notice that says, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, you're going to do these things. You're going to speak with new tongues. You're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're going to cast out demons and they're going to come out. These are defining characteristic traits, or these are defining fruits, as the Bible calls them, that should be happening through us as a believer. But the only way that it says it's going to happen is in the name of Jesus. Understand this, church, you all are called and you all are sent. There is no mistaking that. If we're confused about what the will of God is for our life or what our specific purpose is, everybody is this. Everybody is called. Everybody is sent. And in the name of Jesus, these signs should be following every single one of us. Okay? So we have to understand that as Jesus decided, this was after his resurrection, he sent his disciples out, and he has done so the same to us. As after we became believers, okay, we are now called and we are now sent in the same way. So he gave us this charge. Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke. That is our charge from God, is to go in all the world and preach the gospel and then have those signs and wonders following us in the name of Jesus. Now let's look over Luke 10, because there's a legal and an authoritative aspect of the name of Jesus as well. Okay? We all understand legal, right? We all understand the law. We have to obey the law. If we don't, there's punishment for that. We all understand that there are certain law enforcement entities that have jurisdiction. We go to the police, they have jurisdiction, they have law, you know, they can exercise the authority of the law within the city limits of Kenton. We have the sheriff of Hardin County that can exercise it throughout the entire county. Then we have the state highway patrol that can be anywhere throughout the state of Ohio, right? Okay, then we have like the FBI, we have, you know, these law enforcement agencies that have jurisdiction nationally. Okay, so we have to understand what our authority is, where our jurisdiction lies with the name of Jesus. In Luke 10, verse 17, it says this, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name are written in heaven. Amen. See, all authority under heaven and under earth has been given to us in the name of Jesus. That is something that should not be taken lightly. That is something that we should regard with absolute humility, with respect, and with honor to God who gave us that authority. Okay? So it's important for us to understand that legal jurisdiction. It's not, we're not just limited to our city, our state, our country. We're not just limited to this world. We're not limited anywhere, not to the heavens and all the entire universe. Everything is under the name of Jesus, okay? And this, we've read two scriptures now where it's talked about trampling on like serpents and scorpions and handling those kinds of things. Now, that may have been kind of a bigger thing kind of back in the day and in their culture, but I know like that today we face sickness and disease, okay? And we face things like that. We've obviously just went through, we're coming out of, praise God, the whole coronavirus situation. But in that, we don't have to operate in fear because we have the name of Jesus. Okay, if we could trample on serpents and scorpions, which I've seen scorpions. Actually, who was it? Kaysen showed up this morning with this little rock thing that had a scorpion encased in that thing. He's like, don't worry, it's not alive. I'm like, thank you for reminding me of that. I didn't think it was alive, but I'm like, okay, thanks, bud. But if that thing was alive, we'd all be like, oh my goodness, like don't get, you know, stung by that because that's got poison. And we see a snake, okay? We don't want to get bit by it because they're poisonous snakes, Okay? Just like there are sicknesses and there are diseases that we don't have to be afraid of. We're not called to live in fear. We're called to walk in authority. If we have the name of Jesus, we have authority, we don't have to be afraid of anything. Amen? Let's give a hand clap of praise to Jesus for that. We can be free because we have the name of Jesus. Now, the name of Jesus is for us personally, so we can walk in the fullness of our salvation. We can walk in authority, but it's not just for us. God never gives us anything to keep just to ourselves. God always wants us to take everything and give it to the world because he loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. Okay, he gave his only son. And then we have accepted his only son, and we've been given authority and power in the name of Jesus to be free, to not walk in fear, and to live right before God. And now we need to take that name of Jesus and have those signs, those miracles and wonders following us and given to those people around us who are in great need. Okay, one of the most selfish things we can do as a believer is to not share the gospel and to not walk in the authority of the name of Jesus, because we're called to do that. Okay, we don't have a choice in that. It doesn't matter your personality type, okay? There are times when I don't want to step out and do something because I don't want to, you know, cause any problems, okay? I'd rather just, you know, walk in love and sing kumbaya and it'll be all good, okay? But that's not what God always calls us to. Sometimes Jesus had to come in and flip the tables over and drive, you know, the evil things out with the whip, okay? Sometimes we do have to get over our own insecurities, our own fears, our own selves, and our comfort levels, and step into the authority of the name of Jesus and go to a place where we couldn't imagine ourselves going. But we can go when we walk in the name of Jesus. Amen? Okay, so let's be ready to give the name of Jesus and help others walk in victory. Okay, so we've had our charge. We've got the legal authority. Now, let's talk about victory for a second. Let's turn over to the book of Acts. Real quick, many of you guys probably heard this story, but it goes perfectly along with us walking in, answering the charge of God upon our life, walking in legal authority, and then giving victory, not just to ourselves, but to others around us. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1, and it says this: Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who had sat begging for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. See what happens when we walk in the authority of the name of Jesus. Now, many times, and we should, want to help meet people's needs. Say if they need $100 to pay a bill. If we have that within our means to be able to do that, we should be a need meter. We should help people out, right? Okay? There are times and there are ways that people have certain issues that there's nothing physical, nothing financial that we can do to help them. Okay? Peter, he couldn't take away that man's disease on his own. Okay? He could have tossed him 20 more bucks and said, "Have a nice day. I'll see you tomorrow, or I'll give you another five. You know, and we'll just keep doing this over and over and over again." Or he said, "I got something better than silver and gold. I got something better than money." Okay, cash doesn't fix everything. It's always nice, but it doesn't fix everything. You know, many of us may have just gotten stimulus checks. Okay, those aren't going to fix everything, but hey, the boost is nice, right? But that's not going to take care of certain issues that that we may be facing, that only the name of Jesus can divinely intervene and take care of. Okay, so we need to be like those men who said, you know, I don't have the financial means to be able to help take you out of this, but what I do have is the name of Jesus. Now, one thing I want to address with that is this. You know, I do this too. We've all done it. You know, there's somebody that puts a need out on Facebook, on social media, you know, and people will put, you know, thoughts and prayers and praying, you know, and I have some friends on Facebook that aren't Christians, and they mock this routinely. They make fun of this. They think it's useless. Okay, they think you're just giving somebody either false hope or you're doing nothing for them. Okay, now they don't got really much anything else better to say except for, oh man, that stinks, or sorry about that, and then they can't do anything. You know, so I don't understand how, if we can at least offer something more than just a slight bit of compassion, why is that less than what you're able to do? But anyway, but when we cannot underestimate that. You know, there are times where I found myself saying those things and then forgetting to actually pray. You know, and then I would be convicted and I would repent. But when we say, hey, we're going to pray, that should carry some, oh, wow, the Christian is praying. The woman of God, the man of God has set their faith and they are praying. Expectation, okay, like Shane was talking about, that we have an expectation and we say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. Praise God, victory is on the way. I already know that the devil is being defeated. I already know my situation is turning around and the name of Jesus has been invoked. And so, thank God Almighty, breakthrough is coming. Okay, we have to get in that mindset that we can help other people around us when we use the name of Jesus. It's not a cliche. It's not just a nice thing that we say to pat somebody on the head and send them on their way. Okay, this is power. Okay, this is the real deal. Now, I want to give you guys some examples. We're talking about the fullness of salvation. We've been given the charge to preach the gospel and to see signs and miracles following. We've been given our legal understanding, the authority, the jurisdiction that we have, okay, the victory that we can have for ourselves and we can give to other people. Now, sometimes we don't find ourselves walking in the fullness of these things, okay? And so, do I have anybody in here that likes to cook, that enjoys being in their kitchen, and that likes to bake or likes to cook or likes to make things? Okay, we have, not very many of you like to cook. Like, what's going on? I see like five hands, it seems like. Are you guys just not being honest with me? But if, okay, but if you love to cook, it's like this. God has given you a gourmet kitchen that'd make anybody watching the Food Network drool. Okay, he's given you the best of the best sinks, ovens, stovetops, countertops, utensils, pans, pots, all the things you need, all the finest ingredients in the world to make whatever it is that you want to make. Okay? And that's the fullness of your salvation. That's when we're walking in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus every single day. But too often, we resort to not walking in that, but we go over to some of our places of comfort and familiarity where we have a nice little microwave. And we pop in our frozen meals, and we live at that level. And that's not what God's called us to. We're not a frozen food, pop in the microwave. We have a gourmet kitchen to create the most beautiful meals in the entire world. Okay? Now, there were some guys that did raise their hand. I know we have some great cooks and chefs, bakers that are male and female. And I know that there are some, a lot of guys like cars. Do I have any guys in here that likes cars, like sports cars? Okay, well, geez, oh, my goodness. Well, everybody has to drive a car, right? Okay, we've all seen fancy sports cars driving down the road. Okay, God has given us, there are a sports car that most everybody is probably most familiar with is a Corvette. Okay, it's like an American iconic sports car. Very fast. Okay, got the latest and greatest technologies. Got the biggest engine, you know, just when you see one of them, my boys are like drooling. They're like, oh, there's a Corvette, Dad. That thing is amazing. Yeah, that's awesome. That's what God's given us to drive. Now, if you know the bigger sports cars, you can have a Lamborghini, Ferrari, Bugatti Veyron, whatever it is that you like really, really like. Okay, that's what God's given you in his name to go through life with. He's given you the best of the best in the name of Jesus to walk through life with. But instead, You settle not for a Corvette, but for a Chevette. Okay? Now, there's a big difference. A Chevette is like this little old four-cylinder beater car, okay, that can barely stay together. And we're just trying to tape, you know, get the duct tape on the headlight, you know, just hold the car together, you know, change, put oil in it every week because it's not holding oil. You know, we're trying to just kind of hold this thing together when that's not what God has given us. He's given us this sports car, this Ferrari, this Corvette to drive. Now, when I was in high school, my senior year, you know, my dad always had this rule, like, I'll provide you a vehicle. You can drive that. You don't like that, you can get a job and buy your own transportation. Okay. So my junior year, when my sister was driving, we had a 1974 pumpkin orange Ford Maverick. Okay, the pumpkin mobile, as we called this beast, man. It had real deal bumpers on the front and back, man. We'd win every time we get in a wreck, I tell you that. Okay, so it was like a tank, an orange tank. But hey, it had a nice interior, all right? And everybody in the whole school knew, hey, you guys drive that orange car, right? Yep. So when my sister graduated and I started to drive that at the beginning of my senior year, I'm like, God, we got to do something about this. Okay, it's my senior year, man. Like, but so the trainer had this cool little Saturn sports car. It wasn't really a sports car. It was a Saturn SC2 coupe. Two-door, had a nice, cool design. See, Linda's shaking her head. She remembers this thing. She even felt somewhat cool driving in that thing instead of the pumpkin orange Ford Maverick. Okay, but this thing had flip-up headlights. Okay, it was a five-speed, you know, I could shift this thing. And I just felt cool. Like, got a great deal on this thing. Like, the football trainer had sold it to me. Now, at the time, the seat was broken, so I had to put a cooler behind it to keep the seat from falling all the way back. But hey, the rest of the car was cool, man. All right, but I was, like, big stuff driving this thing around. You know, until, like, I had to start driving it, like, on the highway. Because, like, we had a road that went from our house out in the country to the high school. You know, it was a windy road, so you felt like, man, I'm driving a sports car. I got on the highway, man, like, one of the very first times. And I'm, like, trying to hit the gas, trying to act like I'm driving a little sport car. And I'm getting passed by minivans, by, you know, moms and their, you know, four-door sedans. And, like, I'm like... Okay, well, this thing is still cool anyway, though. But it was not anywhere near an actual real-deal sports car. And even though it might have looked somewhat cool, there are times when we might appear to have it together like we should. Okay, but we're still not in the fullness of living in the name of Jesus and the power and the victory that he has for us, okay? So I just want to encourage you guys with that today, to don't live less than what God has called you to live in. One more thing real quick. Okay, we all have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, and we've seen them dress up. And you see them dress up sometimes like police officers, right? And they think that they're big stuff. I got me a badge. A few years ago, we did a vacation Bible school. It was a Western theme, right? And one of the take-home prizes one night was a sheriff's badge. It's all the kids are wearing this around after VBS. They're like, yeah, I'm the sheriff. You know, I'm big stuff. I got authority. I got jurisdiction. You're coming with me. You're under arrest, right? I want to enforce the law. Well, we know the difference between that and an actual police officer that actually walks in uniform, you know, gun in holster, you know, baton stick in hand, handcuffs, taser, and with the actual authority, all of it that comes with wearing that badge. And there is a big difference. We got to stop playing around, church. This isn't pretend. This isn't just for fun. This is the real deal. This is where the real world is happening, and we have to take the name of Jesus to the world and operate in it. Amen? All right. So, now, one thing we cannot do is use our own name or power. If you guys will turn over just a few more scriptures here, Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And we have to understand that we can't use our own name or power. It has to be the name of Jesus. Now, let's see. John, you stand up for a second. Okay? John is a strong man. Okay? I probably wouldn't take him on an arm wrestling. Okay? Now, when I say John Kearns, all right, his kids might have a little bit of fear, a little bit of trepidation about crossing John Kearns, right? You could ask my boys. You know, I definitely make sure the law is laid down. Okay, now John carries some stature with him, some strength with him, and he's got authority in certain areas. But John can't come up to a demon, a devil from hell, a stronghold, a financial situation, and say, in the name of John, be gone. Right? I mean, John thinks that would be cool to have that kind of power, but I can see his face. Thank you, John. You can go ahead and have a seat. Okay? You can't say, in the name of Shane, be free. Okay? You know, we can't say, in the name of Alicia, Lord, I thank you for that breakthrough. It don't work like that, right? Okay, when I was sharing this with the kids, they thought that was funny, you know, because I was trying to use their own individual names. But God showed me where something like this really did try to take place in the Word. Here in Acts chapter 19, verse 13 through 20, let's read this story here real quick. It says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on, leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear on them all, fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. See, what happens if John would try to use his name? I mean, that devil jumped on them people and whooped them, stripped them naked, and sent them out on the walk of shame out the door, okay? And sometimes that can happen to us spiritually whenever we're not using the name of Jesus as we should. We're not walking in full authority of who God has made us to walk in, okay? Because if the name of Jesus, if everything in heaven and earth is under that, okay, we got to be really careful that we are using the name of Jesus, okay? And we're not like these people who did not even understand it. They're like, hey, in the name of Jesus, whom that one guy preaches. And that devil was like, hey, I know Jesus. And I like how he says, how I know Paul. Does the devil know you? Does he know that you as a man or woman of God that walks in authority, that he has to bow to, submit to, and run from when you invoke the name of Jesus? Does he take you seriously when you pray the prayer of faith? He should. It should be that, now, Jesus I know and Jeannie I know, but who are you? It should be Jesus I know and Gary I know. Okay? You know, our name should be slipped right in there. That I know the people that go to Only Believe at Kenton because they're men and women of faith and power. They exercise a God-given authority that has been given to them in the name of Jesus. And that when we speak that name, the devil runs in fear. He's the one that runs out naked and wounded and abused. Amen? So, the name of Jesus is good. It's wonderful and it's powerful. It's priceless and it's matchless. It is the greatest power ever given to man. Okay, forget about nuclear bombs. I like superhero stuff, okay? I know I'm not a kid anymore, but I guess I'm a kid at heart at some of this stuff. I still like the superhero movies. I still like the Star Wars. I still like those kinds of things. The Force, you know, and then we have these superheroes that have great power that can just defeat huge evil villains. You know what? None of that stuff means anything compared to the name of Jesus. Okay? Nothing in heaven and earth is above it, can overcome it. No power in hell. Death, hell, and the grave have been defeated. The name of Jesus supersedes it all. We have nothing to fear in this earth as we live in this world, we have nothing to fear. No amount of bad news coming against us cannot stand against the name of Jesus. So I want you to be encouraged, church. I want you to know that you know that you know who you are in the name of Jesus, and there is none greater. Okay, that we have the name of Jesus. We have the charge of God to share the gospel to the world and have the signs and wonders following. We have the legal jurisdiction over heaven and earth through the name of Jesus. We have all authority. And we have to be using it correctly, right? Okay, we're not going to be goofy and try to use it for any weird thing or anything that's not of God. But when we have victory in the name of Jesus, and we are to give that to others. Can't keep that to ourselves. Now, one last passage of Scripture, and this is what it all boils down to. Whether everybody knows it or not, every atheist, every person of academia, every scholar that thinks that they know more than God or know more than this world than what this Bible says, okay, whether you're a believer or whether you're not, the Bible tells us that there is one thing that is guaranteed to happen, and that we are all going to bend the knee. We are all going to bow at the name of Jesus. And it says so in Philippians chapter 2. You'll turn there with me. I'll share this and we're going to wrap this up. But in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, says this, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." It's going to happen one way or the other. The Bible talks about either going and falling on the rock and being broken and submitting our lives to Jesus Christ as our Lord, or the rock will fall upon us and crush us, and there's no putting us back together again. So I want to choose the first. I want to willingly submit. It's going to challenge me. I'm going to have to get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to have to do things that I never thought I would do, never thought I would be standing in front of you all. Okay? When I was third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, I had a major speech impediment. I stuttered mightily. Sometimes I still do. You can probably hear that every now and then. I couldn't say my R's right. I went to speech therapy class for like 3 years. I'm like, I never want to speak in front of anybody ever. There's no way. Not happening. The last thing I want to do is talk publicly. I couldn't even raise my hand in class and answer a question because I wanted nothing to do with talking and so somebody can make fun of how I spoke. Now, my mom used to tell me, like, Moses had a speech impediment. God used him pretty mightily. I'm like, oh, Mom, Moses, he's old. Like, it had nothing to do with me. Even though I would kind of roll my eyes at her, that kind of stuck with me. But then once I really started to grow in the fullness of my salvation and understand what God had called me to do, there's no other way except for the name of Jesus that I could stand here in front of any one of you. I could stand in front of your kids, even kids ministry. I fought God like Jacob wrestled God all night long. I fought God for years. I don't want nothing to do with kids ministry. I'll do youth. I'll do preteens. That's as low as what I'll go, God. Don't tell those things to God. God knows what's best. And so God brought us over here and put me in a position of leading children and teaching them. The very first night her and I ever did, even preteens, one of the kids raised their hand and said, "You're boring. Can she teach?" I see, God, I told you. I knew it. But I think it's gotten a little bit better. Some of the kids still may think that every now and then, but they have to deal with it because they're stuck. But it has gotten better, though. But the name of Jesus, speaking it over my own self against my own fears, my own insecurities, to overcome them so that I could be what God's called me to be, so I could give the name of Jesus to children, to young people, to each one of us. And each one of you may be facing something, you probably are facing something that you have to work through, that you need a breakthrough in, that you need God to deliver you of, to set you free of, so you can be all that God has called you to be. You can walk in the fullness of your salvation and truly, in the name of Jesus, walk in victory and give the name of Jesus to those around you. So, church, I want to pray over us today. You guys could stand to your feet, and we're gonna close this up. I just want to pray a prayer over you guys today. You know, that we walk as God has called us to walk. We answer the charge, the call to share the gospel, to see signs and wonders follow. That we walk in legal authority and jurisdiction over heaven and earth through the glory of God. And that we walk in victory for ourselves and give victory to others in the name of Jesus and the fullness of our salvation. So, Father, right now I just come before you. God, I lift up each and every person in here, God. God, I pray you'd meet them where they're at. God, no matter what they're struggling with, no matter what fear, no matter what temptation, God, you have made a way out, and you have given us victory. God, so I speak to each and every heart, to each and every person, right where they're at. You know where they're at, God. And I pray and I ask for a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. You loose upon them the working of miracles, the gifts of healing. God, set them free. Let them walk in victory so they can give victory in the name of Jesus to those around them. Father God, let us not settle for driving a Chevette when we could be driving a Corvette. God, let us not be settling for microwavable food when we have been given a gourmet kitchen to operate as you have called us to. Let us not settle for plan pretend, but let us be the authority, the hands and the feet of Jesus on this earth. Let us rise up as a church, God, to fulfill the God-given calling and destiny in the name of Jesus that you've called us to. I just claim breakthrough over this house right now in the name of Jesus. Power of God be flowing through these people right now. Set them free, God. Let them walk in victory. Insecurities are gone. Fear has left them. God, the boldness of God. For the Bible says the righteousness are as bold as a lion. Let it rise up within them, God. Let them take a hold of the true nature of who they are in Christ Jesus. Not hold anything back from you, but give it all to you. Get outside of their comfort zones, outside of themselves, and into the power of God. And walk in the name of Jesus each and every day, God. I thank you for victory. Thank you for breakthrough. I thank you for setting them free, God. Giving them peace, God. A renewed sense of purpose and of calling. Lord, now more than ever in these troubled times, God, through pandemics, God, through political upheaval, God, we have the name of Jesus that steadies us all. And that will overcome anything that the devil brings against your church. Let us stand in that and walk in that without fear, without hesitation. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. All right, church. Well, go in the name of Jesus. Be blessed. Walk in the power of God. We'll see you guys Thursday night. Pastors will be back with us. Thank you guys and have a blessed day. You're dismissed.